Good evening. Well, it's been a great year. December just crept up. It's already here, and man, we're about into 2018 already. I want to thank you for the year. I've been flown by for me, but I've enjoyed every minute of it, and we want to thank you for welcoming our family to Johnson this year and really helping us get things going where we're at, and we appreciate all the support and work that y'all have put into helping us do that. We're looking forward to next year. I'm looking forward to the holidays. I know you are. I'm going home this year to Florida for the first time in, I don't know, probably 10 years. I don't know. So it's going to be neat to finally go home for Christmas, and we'll get to do that with them. We're not going to get any snow there. Maybe we'll get some snow in Florida. I don't know. But you know, we do this at the end of the year. And what we're talking about tonight, really, we get to the end of the year and we start thinking about what we've accomplished in the year. And what do we want to accomplish in the next year? You know, we've spent a lot of time planning. We do that in ministry, and we've already got a lot of plans I'm excited about in 2018. But then you start asking yourself these questions about your plans and about your accomplishments. Someone said this. I'm not going to pretend to pronounce their name. You can try that if you want. But this person said, the things you do for yourself are gone when you are gone, but the things you do for others remain as your legacy. Now, this word legacy, it's something that's handed down to you. Legacy in the Hebrew language, the word means the share, the portion, the inheritance of the one who's come before you. You know, and besides your things that you hand down, my dad said when he dies, we get his Neil Diamond records and a couple of the boys get a guitar. So I can't play it, so he's not going to give it to me. But you get besides these things, you get memories that people pass down to you. And really the legacy, though, is one of the few things that you leave here on this earth. It's the sum of our actions. It's the shared, like it or not, with those who are still here after we're gone. You know, when someone dies, we talk about the impact they had, the legacy they left. And you live what you leave. You leave what you live. Let me turn that around. You leave what you live. It's hard to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, when there is a man who's labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, he gives his legacy to one who's not labored with them. Solomon says, we're going to leave an inheritance that we've acquired to another. So tonight we're asking this question, what will your legacy be? You all will leave a legacy. What will it be? Your legacy will outlive you. When you die, the sum of who you were will be shared and passed on to others. You know, Matthew read this verse to us in 2 Timothy, and Paul is telling him about his legacy and his family legacy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that now also lives in you. You know, Timothy had a legacy left for him, and now here he was deciding what kind of legacy he wants to leave. What about you? You know the legacy of those who came before you. You know, maybe you have some in your family. Maybe it's just someone who has been a big part of your life, had deep impacts on you. And you have been shaped in some way by their legacy as to what you decide you're going to leave to others. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Maybe we need to consider the examples of those who have come before us. And God's given us a book full of legacies. You know, I want to take a few minutes. We're going to look at some legacies left for us in the Bible. And as we do that, I want you to do this. I hope you look at the length and the struggle. We don't have time to go through their entire stories. Some of them are very familiar to you. But I want you to remember the struggle and the length that it took for them to build a godly legacy. Now, let's start with Moses and Isaiah, who were called. And Hebrews gives you a great summary of some of their lives. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, 5, and 16, it says, He, Jesus, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful and all of God's house. He talks about Moses. Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? Look at the legacy that the writer's talking about. By faith, in chapter 11, Moses, when he'd grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he preserved because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. You know, Moses is faithful. It says about him, it took some convincing for Moses. You know his story, and God really worked on Moses. And when he finally understood that, that this is what God wanted him to do, he spends the rest of his life faithfully leading God's people, following God. In fact, I believe if you get to this section where he's finally decided and accepted what God has for him, I really think you find one minor act of disobedience against God from that time on, where he disobeyed him with the rock. But Moses leaves this legacy of faith that Hebrews writes about, and it's looked at, and we're reading about it today. And it says he did that in Hebrews chapter 11 because he's aware of his eternal reward. And Moses left something for them and left something for us so that we're aware of the same thing. That's what he wants to point his life towards, so that we do the same. He's still leading people out of slavery and into a promised land because of his legacy. He's still doing that. And you get to Isaiah, and you see the willingness of Isaiah. You see this self-confessed unclean man in a land of unclean people, and God allows him to see this holy scene of angels calling God holy around the throne. And he says, I'm ruined. And God takes away his guilt and his sin. Then we get to this verse that we're familiar with in verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. This is the exact legacy of Isaiah. There's a reason this is one of the most quoted verses in the book of Isaiah, because it defines his legacy. He stayed willing and available the rest of his life. God never had to come back and ask him again, Are you willing? He was. He never told God, No, I know you need me to do this, but I already did all of these other things. It didn't matter what God had asked him to do. He left a legacy of being willing and available, and God gave him the honor of communicating so many of the prophecies that we have about his son. What about Noah and Joseph and Daniel, who trusted God and followed him no matter what everyone else around them was doing? The country, the whole world around them was going another direction, and they continued to follow God. When you get to the story of Noah, he had the whole world literally around him destroyed, and he was asked to start over. Joseph, his whole world was stolen from him, and he had to start over. Daniel was taken away from his country, and no one could separate him, though, from the love of God. Noah, he spends 100 years building an ark, trusting God that what God said he was going to do, he would do. 100 years, and he never wavered from his task, and that's the legacy of Noah. In fact, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, we have this verse. It says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Find the same exact verse, word for word, in chapter 7, verse 5. Because this is what Noah's legacy is defined as. If you trust someone completely, you will do everything they tell you to do. And Noah trusted God completely. Joseph, he had plenty of reasons to stop trusting God, as his situation went from bad to worse. from sold to slavery to spending time in prison for something he didn't do. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, he says, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. In verse 3, it says, the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. And then throughout Joseph's story, this is what the phrase that you will find over and over again, God is with Joseph. And what he did prospered because of that. He was still with him. No matter what happened to Joseph, Joseph trusted and served God. What a legacy Joseph left for his family, for the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt, and for us. And no one will ever doubt that God was with Joseph. What about Daniel? Daniel had to continue to trust God as he lived in a foreign country. He had to trust him as others tried to have him killed. He certainly trusted him as he hit the bottom of a dark pit filled with lions that he would spend the night with. In Daniel chapter 6, it says, when the king had come near to the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. The king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The legacy of Daniel is a man who constantly served and always trusted God. You know, we certainly need to include the legacy of some of the women we find in the Bible. What about the legacy of Hannah or Esther or Mary, who all humbly accepted the situation that God gave them? Hannah had become mocked by those around her because she was unable to bear children. And she made a vow to God that if only he would give her a son, she would give him back to God to work in the temple. God heard her plea and he gave her a son who went on to define a nation. Esther accepted the position of queen and put her life on the line to save every one of the Jews. Mary was an unmarried teenager girl who accepted the role that God had for her despite what might be said about her, and her legacy is still read today. We can continue through the Old Testament. You can look at the life of David. David overcomes sin and his failures. And we're not talking as much about those as we are his victories. And he could have easily stayed, run out of town the first time by Saul or the second time by his son. But he continued to seek God, and God continued to make him victorious. But through all the horrible things David did, and all the things he suffered because of his sin, the first thing we mention is not that David was a murderer. It was that David was a man after God's own heart. That was his legacy. God can make anyone victorious, no matter how low they bring themselves, if they go on and they continue to seek the heart of God. We can talk about the legacy of Joshua, who continued to choose to follow God, and we're familiar with this verse. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says these words on his deathbed with the nation of Israel gathered around. And he wants them to choose their legacy. What will your children know about you? What will be part of your legacy? And what about the unsurpassed legacy of Christ? There's no one whose legacy has been more impacted or ever will be There is no greater sacrificial, humble, powerful mediator between God and man that has ever walked this earth. He is everything that we are not and everything we need. There is no greater legacy that will ever be left. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting in verse 5, he talks about the legacy of Christ and what he accomplished on earth. He says, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you weren't pleased. Then I said, here I am. It's written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I've come to do your will. Do you hear the legacy of Christ, who's come to do the will of God? He ends at verse 9. He says, he sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have all been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Sometimes the legacy of other people does something for you. And what they leave is greater than anything we can accomplish without them. And certainly that's the case with Christ. Colossians chapter 1 talks about Christ, and he says he is, in verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, and things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You know, when we read that, we know the cross of Christ. It has its own legacy. And it leaves us a way to have peace with God. The legacy of the cross is that through the blood of his Son, we have a way to reconcile all things before God. God will never have to send another to save mankind. Our Redeemer has already come. He has paid our debt in his own blood. He's defeated death with the power of God. And he offers us a connection to that same power. And then he continues to work on our behalf. In interceding, it says, between us and God, preparing a place for us. And I love this fact. The architect of the universe is busy building my retirement home. There's nowhere else I want to be than be consumed by the legacy of Christ and seek to follow it. What about you? What about the legacy before you? You know, we have all these people that God has preserved for us, but we also have others that we've met in person and others that God has let us see with our own lives. Their own legacy. Maybe that's in your own family. We have good and we have bad legacies left for us. And as you know, there are plenty of bad legacies also mentioned in the Bible. And he says in the Bible, these are there for us to learn from. And as we do that with those God has brought into our lives, I know you could probably list these things and the legacies of those who have had a great impact on your life. You know, my own family, Leah likes when I tell this fact, but we're related on one side of my grandmother's family to Helen Keller. Every time I see or learn more about Helen Keller, I think What an interesting and amazing legacy that she's left, who overcame so many things to become very impactful in the lives of so many other people. My dad's side, we're related to Christian Herman Dasher, who started the Georgia Christian Bible School in Dasher, Georgia. And they go on to continue the work that they do, and to know that that's part of our family legacy. Closer to home, when I think about my father, he's still here. He's not passed away, but I think his legacy will one day include one of the most selfless helpers of people that I've ever seen modeled. Another man in our family that I look and remember a lot is my grandfather. I don't know that I've met a more continual, faithful student of the Word of God. In his late 60s, my grandfather decided he's going to go back to school and get his doctorate. And he completed his doctorate in Christian counseling in his late 60s. And he said he did that because he wanted his grandchildren to know there's nothing that you can't accomplish. He was a constant teacher. He continually took Bibles and continually marked them up, highlighted them, and wrote notes in them, and he would pass them out to people he met daily. My uncle would always say, "Man, Dad, you got to quit giving all your Bibles away. I just bought you another 4 or 5. He says, "I know, I need some more." And he was always helping people. He's always talking to them about their lives and about Christ. We were in the room shortly after he passed. And the legacy that he left was immediately transferred to us. And I felt the weight of all that he was hit me. We felt the void that he left. He was gone, and we were still here. How are we going to carry on his legacy? I remember surrounding his bed and leading a prayer with our family. And that was our prayer, that the things he had started, that we would continue. That the values that he took and lived, we would embody. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I think about my legacy. What will my legacy be? I don't think you're too young to consider that question. Because our legacy is determined now by your actions. And I hope that one day my legacy shows that I'm someone who's willing and available to go anywhere God needs me to be. I hope my legacy will show that I was someone who always trusted and followed God. I hope that it reflects that I humbly accepted whatever situation God gave me. And I hope it shows that following God was enough. And that I was defined by my victories and not my failures. And I sought the heart of God. And I especially think of my children. And I hope that one day they know that I chose to follow God because there is no other. And I want them to be consumed with the legacy of God and consume it to where it becomes their legacy. We're all going to leave a legacy. I don't know about you, but you have to decide what that will be. When it comes to our legacy, we will all either be a sin sharer or a cross bearer? Book of Proverbs includes this verse for us in chapter 3, verse 35. It says, "The wise will inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." You're not yet a cross bearer. And you haven't made that part of your legacy. And you're not yet on that journey to lead other people to God because of the way you live now. Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And people are following you because of the legacy you're building. And are you following Christ? Maybe you've yet to begin that journey. Maybe you're doing a terrible job and you say, "I need to focus more on who he was so I know what I'm supposed to be." You get to the end of the year and you think about what you need to change and what you want to start. I hope you don't have to wait till January 1st. I hope you do that tonight. If there's anything you need tonight from this body, I hope that you will come and feel the need to know that you are in a room where you'll be prayed for and be accepted and loved and shown grace and mercy. And that you'll be a part of a body that follows God as we build a legacy together as one body, glorifying God with what he's given us. If we can help you in any way tonight, please come as we sing this song.